Let me set a scene for you. You're watching television. You're watching television with your 7-year-old daughter, Lily. And Lily, as inquisitive young people do, starts asking questions about the world. In particular, what's going on, Dad, with this Ukraine thing? What is that? Is a 7-year-old, able to understand all of that? Of course not, but they understand problems. They understand mm-hmm. people are hurting. Mm-hmm. They understand that I want to help, right? That was where our guest found himself a while back. Chris Manson is with OSF Healthcare. He's the Vice President of Government Relations. So you and young Lily are watching the news. You see images. She's seeing images, and it's hurting her. It's probably touching her heart, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when she starts asking you questions, what's happening? What is that conversation like? And then where did it take you?
Well, when she starts asking the questions, the first thing I did was try to change the channel so she wouldn't see some of those images.
Sure.
But it did. It had an impact on her. She started asking what's going on, why is it happening, and I didn't have any good answers to say, what could justify what was happening. But that led to us talking about what could be done, and, she'd want to pray for the people over there, and we do that. And it just kind of it bothered me because I could see that it was upsetting her. So that just kind of stuck with me for a little bit and got me thinking. And actually on a flight from Peoria to Washington, D.C. for my regular job, just had a few hours to think about things. And when it landed, kind of came to the idea of, well, what if we could get an ambulance, fill it full of supplies, and somehow get it over to Ukraine? Of course, I didn't have supplies. I didn't have an ambulance, but that was the idea.
All right. So that's a good idea. That's a good idea. First of all, before we get to getting that done, did you share that idea with Lily, or did you keep that to yourself for a minute?
Well, we talked when I got into we would talk about the fact that I worked in healthcare, and we would see the different images or see. Ambulances going across the TV screen, right, and trying to provide aid and stuff. So, we talked a little bit about stuff that might be able to be done.
Okay.
But we really hadn't settled on an ambulance or anything like that at that point.
So you decide that this is a good thing. It's in your field. It's in your field of what you do and know how to do. But, you don't have an ambulance. So what now happens?
Well, and I think the truth of the matter is every time I started to talk to someone, I would first admit is a crazy idea. I mean, it was a crazy idea. So, honestly, the first thing I did is I called a friend, a colleague of mine, Ryan Spain, Representative Ryan Spain, who I work with at OSF also, and just said, hey, do you think Peoria would rally around the idea of getting an ambulance, that we could get filled with supplies? And to his credit, his response was, yeah, sounds like a great idea. So he made a few phone calls, and before I knew it, the very next day, I was calling AMT and Andrew Rand, the owner of the local ambulance company here. And I kind of in a quick, hey, I've got a crazy idea kind of thing, ran through my idea. And to his credit, his response was, what do you want, gas or diesel? And that was it. I mean, once I had an ambulance, then I was like, okay, now I gotta fill it up and I got to get it over there.
What'd you fill it with?
We filled it with a lot of... trauma-related supplies, bandages, dressings. I'll be honest. Once we settled on the idea, I reached out to the Ukrainian government in Chicago, and then they put me in contact with people in Kyiv, and I asked them, do you even need this stuff? I know Red Cross and others are sending stuff. Do you even need it? I don't want to waste your time or our time. And I left a message at like 7:30 in the evening, and I got a call back at like 10 o'clock at night. So they're like, yeah, we need it. This is what we need. And they gave me some contacts. And they gave me a list of stuff, and some of the stuff that stuck out was they're called AMBU bags. It's the like you'll see them on TV. It's the bag that people are squeezing when they're trying to help breathe for somebody. Yes. The max they put on. And what they said was not only do they need adult AMBU bags, but they need pediatric AMBU bags. And so it was what really hit was a lot of the supplies that they were looking for was trauma related. Stuff to assist people with breathing, but it wasn't only adults, it was kids, it was pediatrics. Wow. And so that's kind of what I tried to source and tried to find to get in that ambulance.
So you get the ambulance. I'm not going to go through all the details to get it there, but you got it there, right? And then now, if I'm not mistaken, you've gotten other ones.
Yeah, so I got in contact with the Ukrainian Medical Association of North America and, again, the Ukrainian government. They secured a 747. They filled it with medical supplies. I kind of piggybacked my ambulance on that first flight. And then as soon as I got the one on, they said, great, we need 20 more. And, you know, jokingly, like, hey, can you get us 20 more? And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. And, again, I'm in healthcare, reached out to some friends. We got a second ambulance out of, surprisingly, pretty quickly out of Tennessee. And we got that on a second 747 flight of humanitarian aid. And since then now, we've been able to get an additional five ambulances. Of those five, I've got three on Saturday that are going out of Chicago here on another 747. And then I'm working on an aircraft for the other two, and I'm still looking for a few more ambulances.
Everything is possible, right? Everything's possible. Even crazy ideas that you think of on a business trip.
Yeah.
Everything's possible. This is such a great lesson for us and for your daughter.
It's like a Way to
kids.
Go Todd story.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that. We have this the deal we do every day called Way to Go Todd, which is just kindness, right?
Yeah.
This is kindness at the nth level. And I know just from meeting you in the last 20 minutes, you're not taking all the credit for this. This is just a germ that you made phone calls in. And then Andrew did something, and Ryan Spain did something, and countless other people did something, because that's how teams work.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
that's how teams work.
Yeah, if it wasn't for, you know, OSF and all these others saying, absolutely, go with it, do it, I wouldn't be here. And I got to tell you, as I was trying to find aircrafts, you know, for these ambulances, or the first one even, and that was the toughest one, I call all across the country, and I would talk to people that were in trucking companies and shippers and stuff like that, and they would say, that is a crazy idea, but I want to help. And so I had people all over the country trying to figure this out. And even if you could have seen the first group of people that were loading that first ambulance, we had that first ambulance blessed by a priest, and it was going over to Ukraine. And, you know, you get a picture, it's 11 o'clock at night, it's Chicago O'Hare, I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night, and these guys have been loading planes all day. And then they realize what the ambulance is for, where it's going, that it's been blessed. You actually saw smiles on the guys' faces that were loading this thing on the aircraft. Wow. And they'd go up and they'd actually touch it. Like, you know, they knew where it was going. And, I mean, the second ambulance, the people that donated it, the company donating or the health system donating it wanted to be anonymous. So they took their wrap, their logo off of the ambulance. But all their employees signed the ambulance with messages.
You just returned recently. Tell us about the circumstances that got you there. What did you do?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been asking people for donations and ambulances, and I've been working with people from the Ukrainian government and others in Chicago that are part of the Ukrainian Medical Association of North America. And I just decided, you know, I wanted to make sure, or I wanted to see for myself firsthand what was going on, where the donations were going, how things were being handled, and what the needs and wants were of those in Ukraine. So kind of on a lark, on a Wednesday, we loaded an ambulance on a plane on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, I asked my wife permission to go ahead and do you mind if I fly to Poland and maybe into Ukraine?
And by the way, that is opening a door for every other guy this weekend
yeah,
who just wants to
play
barbecue.
Golf.
He just wants to play golf. At least I didn't ask if I could go to Poland and then Ukraine.
So
God bless your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely God bless my wife. She says yes. Next thing you know, I bought a ticket on Wednesday. I was on a plane Saturday, Easter Eve. Got into Poland on Easter, and by Tuesday morning, I was walking across the border in Medyka, Poland, into Szczecin, Ukraine. Had someone pick me up, and went to Lviv, and then from there went a little bit further into Rivne, where I was the guest of the regional governor and his deputies, and got a chance to meet with him and his staff, have dinner with him, and then the next day toured a veterans hospital, toured a regional hospital, maybe similar to St. Francis, and then got to tour a fire station and really see what they were doing with the aid that we were bringing them, and kind of how they were dealing with all of the displaced persons that were coming their way from the east, and the wounded as well.
It feels like it would be, at least from the cheap seats that we're watching on television, that it would be overwhelming to do that. What was the emotion?
It was. I mean, and it was a little bit daunting. I'd never been to Europe, so, you know, I think on Tuesday morning, I was in Rzeszów, Poland. I got into a cab. I'm an American, got into a cab driven by someone that was Czech in Poland going to the Ukrainian border, and no common languages were spoken. Thank goodness for Google Maps and some rudimentary sign language as far as kind of pointing to where I wanted to go. But once I was in Ukraine and I was with the Ukrainians, it really felt, it was great. I mean, these are some of the best people I've ever met. All they want, and they'd say it over and over again, is freedom. You know, they'd show me things, you know, a police station that during the Soviet times, the KGB would take people and people would just disappear and never leave. And people were old enough to remember that, and they just don't want to return to that. And, you know, again, time and time again, you'd hear people talking about just wanting to be free. I brought a flak jacket and a Kevlar helmet in, not knowing if I'd need it or not, or what, you know, if,
sure,
depending on what would go on. And at one point, before I left, I left that with, I was, my intention was to leave that with somebody there in Ukraine. And I got connected with a university president who came to my hotel in Rivne, Ukraine, and said, "Hey, I'm here for the vest and the helmet." And I said, "Is this for you?" As like a 60-some-year-old man, I'm like, "Is this for you?" And he's like, "No, it's my son. He's on the front line. So once I leave here, I'll take this up to the front line. He doesn't have a helmet. He doesn't have a vest."
Oh, my goodness.
So I mean, it was those kinds of moments, kind of over and over again, that you would run into.
When you got back and you went in your office here across the street for the first time, what changed?
You know, I'll tell you. I mean, when I got back, honestly, it was, okay, I need to get more ambulances to these. I got to get more stuff over there. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, part of the reason I wanted to go was so that I'd have some credibility when I was in the United States asking for materials. Like, you know, hey, yeah, I've seen firsthand what the need is. I know what's going on.
The timing of that, though.
What's that?
Going there on Easter.
Easter weekend. Did you think about that at the time?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Again, it was, I mean, I realized I was going to a very Catholic country in Poland and then a very religious country in Ukraine. But as far as like tying significance to it, I mean, I saw it more when I was there. You could see, you know, every village has got either an Orthodox and a Catholic church. If you're in Ukraine or in Poland, it's all Catholic churches. So, I mean, for, you know, being a Catholic was a nice, that was a kind of a, maybe a nice, cool thing. Positive.
And it's all about the spirit is giving and helping and just to have it on Easter is just kind of a little blessing, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I was Saturday night, I'm in the airport wondering, is this really the right thing to do? I'm going to miss Easter with my kid and my family. And while I was there, I met this a young lady, a teenager, 18 years old. This was her second trip back to Ukraine. And in talking to her, she kind of told me why she was going. Like, what are you doing on the second trip? She's like, well, my brother's on the front lines, so I've got 20 bags worth of Kevlar vests and helmets that I'm bringing, and I'm going to meet my grandfather in Warsaw, and then we're going to take a bus from Warsaw to Lviv, and then from there, I'm going to go east to the front to go ahead and give my brother this one particular helmet that we bought. And so, right, and that's the kind of, it kind of blows you away. So you're thinking, oh, geez, I'm going to miss Easter, and then you hear a story like that, and you're like, okay, you know, one little trip that I'm doing and missing one little holiday is not a big deal.
Well, and then the enormity, or maybe that's the wrong word, the reality that this fight is happening like piecemeal. Like, oh, a young woman is bringing vests.
Yes.
You are bringing, you gave your Kevlar vest and a helmet to a guy who's going to give it to his son. And not to mention, of course, the ambulances. Before we leave, or you leave, I want to know what we can do. Is there a way that people are listening today, businesses or organizations, can help you continue to send supplies?
Well, I'll tell you, there's I've mentioned them, the Ukrainian Medical Association of North America. They've got a website. They're out of Chicago. The Ukrainian medical professionals in Illinois. That's who I've connected with from the beginning in March on this journey. And I can tell you firsthand, I've seen their supplies in Ukraine. So I feel comfortable saying, if you go to their website, if you donate to them, that's if there's money that you want to donate, that is definitely a way that you can help.
Okay.
If you've got an ambulance that's, you know, less than about 10 years old or less, and it's in good shape, and you want to get it into the fight, then, you know, get a hold of me, and I'll get it on an aircraft, and we'll get it into the fight.
And what's the best way for, because you know what? What's great about this area, people listening, they'll go, hey, I know somebody, or I know this person, and connect that way, because...
Christopher.m.manson, M-A-N-S-O-N, at osfhealthcare.org is your website. We'll put that on our places.
Yeah, that would be a good email.
What's the name of that group again that does
it's UMANA. It's U-M-A-N-A, or Ukrainian Medical Association of North America.
Got it.
You look them up, and like I said, the good news is when I started this, people have offered to give me money, and so I didn't want to get into money. I didn't want to deal with that. I wanted to get the physical, if you got... For example, the first ambulance we sent our employees at OSF, our mission partners, we asked them to donate Quick Clot, that clotting agent that you can buy at a store. And so we filled that ambulance full of that stuff. But again, if you want to give money, you can give to this, give to UMANA. And if you got an ambulance, give it to me. And like I said, we'll get it over there.